with Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting. Yesterday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department made a traffic stop and arrested 21-year-old Quentin Wade Haley from Anacoco, Louisiana, who was wanted on a fugitive warrant from Vernon Parish, Louisiana. On April 9th, Haley was in the process of being handcuffed by a Vernon Parish Sheriff's deputy when he managed to break away from the deputy and flee on foot and was partially handcuffed at the time of his escape. All that time, he had an active warrant for forgery-related charges. Haley is being held at last check at the Hardin County Jail. Last night, the Butler County Sheriff's Department arrested 32-year-old Christina Downs of Allison for driving while barred. Tuesday, the Franklin County Sheriff's Department transported from Jasper County 30-year-old Samantha Olmstead, formerly of Hampton, who was wanted on a Franklin County warrant for a charge of forgery. Monday, just before 1 p.m., the Sheffield Fire Department was called out on the report of a house fire at 114 4th Street in Chapin. Several family pets died in the fire. The fire was believed to have started in the laundry room of the home. The home sustained smoke and water damage. Assisting agencies were the Franklin County Sheriff's Department, the fire departments from Hampton and Latimer, and EMS units from Sheffield and FGH. Iowa and several other states have reached an opioid agreement with a drug maker based in Ireland. The agreement says Endo International will provide up to $450 million to participating state and local governments. It bans the promotion of Endo's opioids and requires Endo to turn over millions of documents related to its role in the opioid crisis for publication online. Endo filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection Tuesday night, and the agreement resolves allegations that Endo boosted opioid sales using deceptive marketing that downplayed the risk of addiction and overstated the benefits. Further details of the settlement and the amount of money each state will receive are still being worked out. A district court judge has ruled the list of landowners who have not agreed to voluntary easements for the proposed Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline must be released to the public. The Iowa chapter of the Sierra Club sued after the Iowa Utilities Board said the names would remain secret at the developer's request. Summit is still working to secure agreements with landowners for about 60% of its proposed carbon pipeline route through Iowa. If the Iowa Utilities Board grants eminent domain authority for the project, the list would be used to determine which properties could be seized without negotiations between Summit and landowners. A spokeswoman for the Sierra Club's Iowa chapter says reluctant landowners should be able to see the list so they can communicate with like-minded Iowans and organize unified opposition to the pipeline. Summit could appeal the judge's ruling. The company says it's reasonable that landowners themselves get to choose whether their names and contact information are made public, and Summit aims to protect landowners from harassment. Last night, the Rockwell City Council discussed issues brought forward about the amount of stray cats in town. Council members were in agreement that the cats are an issue and will check into shelters to see if anyone takes cats, but in the meantime, residents should not feed stray cats. In other business, the police chief told the Rockwell City Council that he has dog tags and has put together a spreadsheet to set a policy to register dogs in town. Council members agreed that cats should also be licensed. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate is urging Iowans to apply to be poll workers in this fall's election. Poll workers check in voters on election day and hand out to ballots. Pate says more than 10,000 poll workers are needed across the state for each election. He says while a good number of poll workers have signed up, county auditors tell him they still need more people.
Some counties perhaps are looking for some more Republicans, some counties looking for more Democrats, because you know, we require it to be balanced, and that's where people can help us out as well.
Poll workers are paid, but the rate depends on the county. Pate calls poll workers the unsung heroes of our democracy.
They're your friends and neighbors. They go to the same churches and grocery stores as you do, and these are the folks that are really there to make sure you can be comfortable that the election results are accurate and that the process itself is a fair one, because that's what's so important. You've got to believe in the results of those elections for us to really be able to be successful.
Visit pollworker.iowa.gov. Again, that's pollworker.iowa.gov for more information about signing up to be a poll worker. The general election is on November the 8th. A recent $5,000 grant from Prairie Meadows brings a generator within reach for the West Fork Food Pantry in Sheffield. The recent gift from Prairie Meadows brings the total in grant monies to $15,000 for the generator, but another $8,000 is needed to finalize the purchase. Any donations received above $10,000 needed to purchase the generator will be put toward replacing the series of small freezers being used with a walk-in freezer, which would be more efficient, plus allow the pantry to accept larger donations of frozen food items. Those interested in contributing to the West Fork Food Pantry may mail donations to Post Office Box 277. Again, that's P.O. Box 277 in Sheffield, the zip code 50475. Again, 50475. Parkersburg Show and Shine Car Show organizer Steve Brass is today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program. Brass will discuss the 23rd annual event happening this Sunday at Miracle Park, with proceeds benefiting the Northeast Iowa Food Bank. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays during the noon hour on KLMJ, following the news, weather, and obituaries, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. And the trend continues. In this week's U.S. Drought Monitor report, as more of Iowa has some form of drought conditions listed. As of Tuesday, just over 33% of the state had no drought conditions, compared to around 36% last week. In the broadcast area, most of Grundy, all of Hardin, most of Franklin, all of Wright, and western Hancock counties are listed as being abnormally dry. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.